Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast, heating up the brandy of conversation, lighting it with a flame of humour and pouring it over the Christmas pudding of the internet. Happy Christmas, James!
Ho, 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 Ed Gamble! Happy Christmas! This is the Off-Menu podcast. We own a dream restaurant and invite a guest in every week and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. When it's a Christmas episode, we also ask them their dream Christmas meal as a little extra course. And this week, our guest is...
Mel Gedroyk. Mel, of course. It's Mel. We're back in the territory, aren't we?
It's National Treasure.
Of course it is.
Territory. Of course it is.
Nice to complete the Mel and Sue set as well.
Yes.
We started collecting a while ago.
Yeah, and it took us a while to complete the two-person set.
Especially as there's only two in the set.
But what an honour.
What an honour. I cannot wait to hear what Mel has to say about her dream foods.
And of course, when Sue was on the podcast, she chose for her dream dessert Christmas pudding.
Very true.
You know, is this going to be a full Christmas menu? Even though we're just having one little course as a Christmassy shout out here.
Yeah.
Dream Christmas meal, but, you know, is Mel as Christmassy as Sue is?
Who knows? Who knows? Can't wait to find out.
But even though it's Christmas, if Mel says the secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be unacceptable, then we will have, with a heavy heart, to kick National Treasure Mel Gedroyk out of the dream restaurant.
Into the snow, like Tiny Tim.
Oh, like little tiny Tim.
Oh, and this week, Tiny Mel.
This week, Miniature Mel.
Mini Mel.
This week, the secret ingredient is Satsuma.
Satsuma.
Little Satsumas in the stocking. Hate them.
Don't
put a Satsuma in the stocking. I want chocolates and presents, little presents in there. Wow, that was the biggest sneeze he's ever done. He did it with his whole body.
Yeah, big sneeze.
Don't put those Satsumas in the stocking.
No, and I can feel them. Don't think you're sneaking them in.
Yeah, we can feel them. We know that they're in there.
Well, I don't get a stocking anymore.
No?
Nah.
It's a shame.
It is a shame, isn't it? But all grown up boy now.
I get one.
Yeah, quite.
I'd kick off if I didn't.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you normally get in your stocking, apart from the Satsuma?
Chocolates, hot sauce sometimes, little things like that, little things for the kitchen. Maybe like a little plasticky travel game, you know, good stuff.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Just may as well empty it directly into the bin.
Oh, no way, I eat it all.
The travel game?
Yes, I eat that. Like a Kinder Surprise.
Hopefully we won't have to kick Mel out, but if she says Satsuma in a stocking, she's out of here.
Yeah, and I mean, we're risking it there, you know that it's possible she might say that, and it'll be feel very un-Christmassy.
It will. It will indeed.
There you go.
Without further ado, this is the off-menu Christmas menu of Mel
Gedroy.
Welcome, Mel, to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, I'm loving it in the Dream Restaurant.
Welcome, Mel Gedroy, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Here we are.
Wow.
Pretty impressive genie, right, that we've got here?
Absolutely. Oh, I'm moved. Yeah.
You liked it?
I'm moved. I'm a bit emotional. I love the genie.
Thank you.
What is it in particular about the genie that you're finding very emotional?
I love the fact that the genie's wearing a mustard yellow top.
Yep.
That's I'm getting into a lot.
Rare for a genie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm loving the fact that you're very, yeah, you seem like a very good presence.
Thank you.
You're a very good presence.
Would you describe me as a good presence, Ed?
Sometimes.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you give good presents? Do you give good presents?
Yeah, I think so. Thoughtful about presents, yes.
What's the worst present you've ever given for Christmas?
Given to someone?
Given, yeah.
Well, I've only recently got into wrapping presents.
What do you mean? So what did you do before?
Well, I genuinely think it's pointless to wrap presents.
Wow.
That's so Scrooge.
Wow.
Well, it's not Scrooge. I actually think it's more Scrooge to wrap something because then you're covering up your mistakes. I think you should just be honest about what you've given and just hand over the thing.
It's not people aren't lying when they wrap it up.
They are. They are. Especially if you're just dropping presents off with someone and then going, oh, here's a concealed parcel. Bye-bye. Have a nice week.
The concealment is... That's all
no,
the fun.
No.
The unwrapping is more fun than the actual thing itself, often.
Yeah. I think just...
You just stop wearing clothes.
No, that's not... But I don't
you
wear clothes...
You lie to us by wearing those clothes, Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, James.
I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do? You just leave a pile of stuff?
No, I found it... I'm not good at wrapping. It's labour intensive.
You've got to practice.
Yeah, well, I don't want to.
Oh.
I went through a period of wrapping things in tinfoil because then you don't need to tape anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's, no offence, but that is a bit, that's like a student.
Yeah.
It is a bit.
I've been there. I know. Yeah.
Yeah. But also, it's made for that. It's made for wrapping things easily, right?
Because you don't need sellotape.
You don't need sellotape. You can just pinch it off.
Yeah.
Lovely job.
Not lovely job.
It's like a present in the future.
I love the expression pinch it off.
Pinch it off.
Yeah.
Not normally used in wrapping.
No.
But
appropriate given how awful your presents are.
Thank you.
Guys, you should see I've got a special wrapper's cupboard.
Of course.
Wrapper's cupboard at home. Yeah. So open up the cupboard. Yeah. And then you've got I'm going to take you from right to left. We have boxes. We have boxes, bags, sellotapes, pens. See-through wrapping, which is similar to your non-wrapping, but at least it, you know.
Yeah.
It's something, isn't it? It's not cling film. It's the crackly, like, bunch of flowers.
Sort of cellophane type stuff. Yeah.
Then we've got our Christmas papers, and then we move into birthday papers.
Oh.
And then into slightly wacky off-the-wall papers.
Yeah, the issue is I do now wrap, but sometimes my wife will receive a birthday present in Christmas paper.
You see, I'm not having that. If you've got a wrapper's cupboard, then you won't fall into that mistake.
Yeah.
Where in the wrapper's cupboard is the tinfoil?
Nowhere.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
Nowhere.
James. Why is it nowhere?
Because it's not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Or is it too good?
Oh, tinfoil should stay in the kitchen, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's where I do my wrapping, so...
That's annoying. He's got us there.
In the sellotape section, sorry, am I going on too much?
No, absolutely not.
In the sellotape section, I've got a sellotape which you attach to your finger like a large ring.
Mm.
And it's so cool. You just pinch it off with your thumb. You just go like that and it's on your finger. So you don't even have to do that ghastly thing of finding the bloody end and then all that stuff. It's just there on your finger, on the ring, and then just with your thumb.
That's good.
But then hold on. So it's on your pointing finger.
Yeah.
You roll the sellotape with your thumb to get the tape off.
Yeah. You actually click it. You go click, 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 click.
Then how far can you pull it out, though? Because then you could only pull it out as far as your thumb can reach.
You pull it out and pinch it off.
You pull it out and pinch it off. And it doesn't...
Well, how do you pinch it off?
I actually don't remember.
Okay.
I know it's in there somewhere. Somebody gave it to me. You've actually, yeah, you've
that's it.
You've scuppered me.
Is this the end of the wrapping cupboard chat?
It's, but it's a clicking action, like a dog training clicker, click, 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 that you know, the sellotape emerges on each click.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get the length. As for pinching it off, I can't bloody remember.
Maybe you'll get the other hand involved, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's not the point.
But that's
of
holding
the thing.
Down the.
I love wrapping.
Yeah?
Love it.
Does How many presents would you wrap a Christmas? Average Christmas.
I've got an enormo, silly enormo family.
Yeah.
56, something like that.
Oh, my God.
How big's your house?
The house is. Excuse me. At the moment, it's a bit empty nesty, so it feels big, if you know what I mean. Because the kids have gone off to uni. But obviously they'll go coming up for Christmas, which is lovely. I did not see a question. I didn't want it to appear
did
too big.
Did the wrapping cupboard come in before or after the kids left?
After.
Yeah. Sounds like
James.
It.
James. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. You've replaced your kids with wrapping.
Yeah. Wrapper's cupboard came in after.
Yeah, wrapper's cupboard. So
and I went through all the dressing up boxes.
Yeah.
There are about three of them. And I trimmed those back as well. That was another job.
I thought you were going to say you put all the costumes on. That's literally where I thought you were going. I went through all the dressing up boxes and I put everything on.
That would be so sad.
Crying in the mirror.
Really sad. There's some crackers in there, though.
Yeah.
Some real good ones and some good Crimbo-related ones.
Oh, yeah? What ones?
There's a habitable Christmas tree. You can get into it and then put your arms through. That's good. There's a High School Musical Christmassy pair of balls, pom-pom balls.
Okay.
There's a load of stuff.
That sounds good.
Harry Potter cloak, not very Christmassy, but you can get away with it.
Invisible. No, there's snow, it feels Christmassy,
It's sadly not invisible.
No.
I heard them making it a genuine invisibility cloak.
What are you on about, mate?
This is what I heard.
What?
Well,
do you mean the military?
No, like for people to buy, like invisibility cloaks.
But do you know what that's going to be? That's going to be Emperor's new cloak.
Yeah.
Here's an empty box. Yes, there's an invisibility cloak in it.
Yeah.
And they charge you £240.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
I'm not sure about that, all that merch.
I don't like the sound of it.
No.
Well, it sounds like you would have had to have bought that, but now your kids have gone to uni, right? So you don't need to worry about that sort of tat anymore.
Oh, no, although, no, they do still like to dip in Halloween, you know. They used to call me Melvin. It was my sort of alter ego. Because I was.
Kids.
Yeah, the kids. They call me Melvin because I'd get really overly involved in, you know, for example, at Christmas, making a Christmas costume.
Mm.
But I'd like take over and get really humourless.
So why does that. Why are you called Melvin?
I don't know.
I had to ask James permission there because. Yeah. I thought I might be missing something massive there.
No, you didn't.
No.
They just call me Melvin.
It was like someone said, people call me Trevor because often when I go skiing, I'll always be the first one down the slope. What?
Okay. So why Trevor? I do not know.
Oh, I've never known.
That is so Trevor.
Such a
always
Trevor
first down the slope.
First would be first. Slope. Yeah, actually, that's actually a perfect example because Trevor would be first down the slope. Yeah.
Trevor's a bit of a show-off, isn't he?
Yeah, Trevor's a real show-off.
Yeah. Quite hard to think of something Trevor doesn't do, actually.
We had Trevor and Sheila, actually, and I'm not just saying this because this is the Christmas podcast. They used to come over and visit us in the 70s from South Africa at Christmas time.
Really?
Trevor did not say a ruddy word. Really lovely guy.
Yeah.
And I always remember he spent about 6 hours doing the lighting for my doll's house. Oh. He did like a full electrician's job. On the doll's house.
Completely silent.
Totally silently. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. Is it creepy or is it not? I haven't decided yet.
I don't know. That was Trev.
Yeah.
That's what it was like. Didn't say goodbye when he left. Yeah.
No, he was the electrician to the dolls.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
And was it a good job? It didn't go faulty, the electric. It worked for ages.
He just and he
a
only
very
had,
efficient
he,
job.
He had two big sort of 1970s batteries.
Yeah.
And Sheila... She wore the trousers. Just said, you know, go on, Triv, go off and do something useful.
We're all hoping that accent was going to come out.
Yeah, very glad it did.
Yeah. Because Trevor doesn't talk, so he's like, oh, God. Yeah. So the last thing you want to hear was some guys, so there's two South African people. Okay, great. One of them doesn't talk. Oh, fuck's sake. Come on.
Sheila better be
I'm
a chatty
really hoping
Kathy.
That Sheila gets a line in this story.
Oh, God. I think it was on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
That's quite a dull thing to have to do on Christmas Eve, isn't it?
What, whatever.
Not for Trev, it sounds like.
It sounds like he, it sounds like he voluntarily did it.
I think he was relieved.
Yeah, because he's not relieved. Being useful in conversation, is he?
He's not really.
Yeah. He clearly doesn't want to be hanging out with people.
Yeah, maybe didn't like the family.
That's all.
Maybe it was more Sheila's thing than
maybe it was more Sheila's thing.
Maybe talk to the dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to unravel 40 years of family mythology here.
Yeah, when I get figure home. Out. How did they know your parents?
I think it was through work. Mm-hmm. God, maybe that was right.
I love that as a kid. You don't even question things like that.
No, of course you don't.
I think it was through work. Just two South Africans turned up on your doorstep every Christmas. No idea how they knew them, actually.
Yeah. Hello!
We had Beryl and Rafe every Christmas as well.
Yes, you did.
Beryl and Rafe.
Rafe, they were absolutely gorgeous.
And they were from the Caribbean.
And
but luckily they were both silent.
They were from... they were from Isha.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah.
Isha's in Surrey.
Okay.
Yeah, because we were in Leatherhead. And they were so nice. They were childless, and so they gave massive... They gave massive presents to us. Bigger than our own parents. It's a bit embarrassing.
Hang on. Bigger than the presents that your parents gave you, or physically bigger than each of your parents individually?
Bigger than our parents gave us. So, for example, I mean, lovely, and I don't want to diss my mum, but, you know, times were tough. It was the 70s. We were four kids. There's a lot going on.
Couldn't even afford to power a doll's house.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
You know.
So it was really lovely. It was a set of paints.
Mm.
It was a set of paints. That is a lovely present to get, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Nurturing your creative side.
Exactly. It was small. There were only six. I think there were six paints. But anyway, in come Ruddy, Beryl and Rafe with like skateboards, princess dolls. Oh, they gave me a music box with a ballerina that went round and round. I mean...
Yeah.
Really kind.
Your parents have got to be angry about that, though.
They were furious. Yeah. I think they had a word, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, come over here. Listen, baby. I know you're childless. But don't you come here giving bigger presents than me. I got a fucking pants. Are you fucking shitting me? Are you shitting me? I have to upstage us in our own fucking house.
I think it was a bit upstage.
Anyone else pop over for Christmas?
Trev and Sheila, that was usually Christmas, that was in the day. Beryl and Rafe in the evening, and Bob and Gwyn.
Of course. How could we forget Bob and Gwyn?
Bob and Gwyn, so nice. Welsh.
Yeah.
And they were neighbours.
Yes.
And...
What sort of things would they say?
Well, I loved Gwyn. She was so lovely. She always gave smoked salmon and things like that. And I got Bob. Yeah, Bob, slightly grinchy. But they were great, and I think they used to help Father Christmas fill the stockings.
Yeah,
so that was fun.
That was good.
We'd hear all sorts going on as they filled the stockings. I don't want to give away about Father Christmas.
You don't want to give it away to our listeners.
Fair enough.
Okay.
We have a lot of families in
this.
For
the listeners.
They were Father Christmas's helpers.
Yeah, so there's a lot.
They were Bob and Gwyn were elves.
So everyone knows all the elves are Welsh.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
It's like, in the new Lord of the Rings series, people are learning that all hobbits are Irish. People don't know that all elves are Welsh.
Yeah.
North Pole elves, anyway.
I never got through The Hobbit. I couldn't do
book
it.
Or film?
Book.
Oh, the
couldn't,
book.
No, couldn't do it.
Pretty short book.
I mean, have you read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ed?
My dad read it to me, so I don't know if that counts.
If I'm honest.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, my mum read it to me.
Actually. Yeah. So we've both done the audiobook in a way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so lovely. God, I've never read a book that long to my own kids. That makes me feel bad. No.
You're not?
Like 11 pages max.
What?
Like a picture book.
Yeah.
Not a big tome. Too much commitment.
Oh.
It's quite short, The Hobbit.
It's quite short.
Guys, it's 200...
Are you thinking of Lord of the Rings?
No, The Hobbit's like 300 pages, isn't it?
I'm not sure it is that long.
Or is it not that long?
It's pretty short. But
good for you, though. Good for your parents. That's brilliant.
Would your kids ever say, like, Mummy, can you read this book to me?
No.
No.
Just too dumb. Well, listen.
I've been up all night rapping.
I get it.
I always found that reading books was quite tiring.
Mm-hmm.
because you want to invest. You want to invest in the characters. You want to go large. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to do all the voices.
Well, as we've already seen with Bob and Gwen.
You know, exactly. So if you're going to take on something like the Ruddy Hobbit,
yeah,
that's full on.
And you're just making all the characters Welsh or South African. Mum, why every single book?
I like Frodo. I love Frodo. Damn it.
It's a good word.
It's great.
Good name to say. Yeah,
that's a good accent you've got there.
Yeah. Thanks very much. So are there some like key things I should know about Lord of the Rings?
Don't worry, we've got you covered.
Yeah, we've got you covered.
Can you give me some stuff?
Yes.
Just some little bits and bobs. What catchphrases?
One of the main catchphrases is, spear them in the penis.
Spear them in the penis?
Yes.
It's the orcs.
Lord of the Rings.
They go for their penises with the spears. Throw the spears at their penises, at their dicks.
I thought it was a kid's film.
That's what they say, penis.
Oh, spear them in the penis. Guys, are you winding me up?
Also, they tickle the orcs. That makes them go rigid. You know, like those goats?
Yep.
That's what it's based on. They tickle the orcs, they go rigid, and then they spear them in the penis.
J.R.R. Tolkien used to work with goats on a little goat farm, so he based most of the orcs on goats.
Oh, really?
Yes. Like, he based the trees on Lewis Carroll. Actually, C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis. Narnia.
Yeah. But based the orcs on the goats.
Guys, are you winding me up like a bloody kipper?
It does sound far-fetched.
Yeah, it does.
I think it sounds ridiculous.
No, it sounds ridiculous.
But you know, they're trying to get a ring into a volcano. Like, it's pretty far-fetched anyway.
Yeah. It is silly.
And the baddie is...
Sauron, who's the big eye.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a flaming eye.
Yeah.
And Clapcakes.
That's just made up.
No, Clapcakes isn't made up.
That's just...
Clapcakes is like...
Is it Mordor?
That's where they have to throw it into Mount Doom. But to get past, they've got the orcs, obviously, and Clapcakes, and then they finally get to Sauron.
Clapcakes sounds like a sort of Scottish delicacy. Oh, you'll be having a clapcake with your bridal slab. Clapcakes?
Yes.
Who played Clapcakes in the film?
I think it's one of those CGI...
Oh, it was... It was a CGI person, but it was coming. It was the person who was. Do you know? It was Jack from Lost.
Yeah.
I mean, you know who the hobbits were? Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
The guy, another guy from Lost, the Scottish guy from Lost.
Ewan McGregor.
Dominic.
No. Dominic Monaghan and Alan Davis were the three main hobbits.
Alan Davis, the comedian.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Boom. That's a great gig.
Yeah. And he's very modest about it.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
He's a dark horse. And didn't they all have a tattoo done? Anyone who was in the film?
Yeah.
It's got the same tattoo.
Spear them in the penis was tattooed on their arms.
I don't know if I believe any of this. I need to go and read it. Oh, God.
No, you don't have to read it.
It's not Christmassy, though, is it?
No, it's not Christmassy.
Five gold rings?
Oh, yeah. Five gold rings.
Oh!
Quite Christmassy.
Yeah. Oh, A Child's Christmas in Wales. That's a lovely book to read the kids.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a bit old school. It's old. I was about to say Bob Dylan. It's not Bob Dylan. It's Dylan Thomas.
Dylan Thomas. When we were kids, we went to Dylan Thomas's house. The mum and dad took us there, and all day long, my brother, who's the youngest, thought we were going to see two people called Tim and Thomas.
Tim and Thomas. And was he really excited?
Yeah, it's like, we're going to go and visit our friends Tim and Thomas.
Tim and Thomas. Yeah.
And we got there. It's like, what the fuck? No one's even here. It stinks.
Did you go? Were you allowed to go in it, or was it just like, oh, we're standing outside?
I actually can't remember at all. I just remember that's the story that always gets told. Is that
Tim and Thomas was like, we're going
to see Tim and Thomas today. I'm very, very confused when we got there.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah. So, speaking of names, my sister's family have loads of chickens, and they've named them all steadily after Bake Off presenters. Judges.
So you got your Prue, your Mary, your Paul.
Paula, because they're all chickens and not. There's
Sorry, of course.
So they had to go for Paula. Mel and Sue, obviously.
Matt and Noel.
Sandy, Noel.
Sandy.
I don't think there's been a Matt. I texted my sister about it before this. So she said that the only ones that are alive now are Paula and Sandy.
Oh, dear.
They're the only two that are still alive.
That makes sense. They're the real gritty ones, aren't they?
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Mel was a very good layer.
Oh, did Mel die? What did Mel die?
Mel died of old age, as did Sue and Mary. Noel, on the other hand, died of fright during a thunderstorm.
What about Prue? Prue's still going, surely.
Prue was egg bound and the egg got stuck and because of all the pressure and the strain, and she died.
So Prue exploded?
Yes.
I didn't know that a chicken could die like that.
She was egg bound.
So she was in the process of laying.
First ever egg.
Oh no.
Didn't come out.
And the cloaca got absolutely
jam packed.
Jammed.
Pressures. Yeah. That's bad. And then that's so sad.
Oh, scientifically, what is that exactly? What happens?
What?
Well, she's not getting choked, is she? She just can't release the egg. So why would you die from that?
Yeah, all I've got here from my sister is, something to do with the pressure and straining.
I mean, sometimes I find myself in that situation. I think I'd rather be dead than go through this.
I mean, Christmas can be quite an interesting time for that. Guys, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you forget to drink water. Yeah. You're just solidly on the ruddy booze, aren't
you? Yeah.
And you're eating all that stuff, all the chocks, all the stuff that can bag you up.
Yeah, truly egg-bound over all of Christmas.
Really egg-bound. Yeah. Let's remind people to drink water at Christmas because you don't want to be like that chicken.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't. Prue leave the chicken.
Prue leave the chicken.
Prue. Prunes are always good. prune juice. Do you know, I've suddenly...
So remember, prune leaf.
Prune leaf. Remember that, everyone. Reef Christmas.
Yeah. I've suddenly remembered something.
Yeah.
Seriously, this is true, just because we're chatting. Just suddenly remembered. Oh, my God. Have you ever done Christmas with a girlfriend / boyfriend that you know you're not meant to be with and you go to them for Christmas? And you just know it's not right.
I have not.
I was at a boyfriend's for Christmas once. I always do Christmas at home. Always, always, always. When I was, single or with a partner or whatever, always at home. It's just natural, isn't it? You know, if you're lucky enough to, have a family and get on with them and stuff. So I always did it at home. I went to his for Christmas. Oh, my God. And I knew it was over when the whole family, absolutely true, before Christmas lunch in the morning, fried up some steaks and started eating the steaks at like 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on here? And they said, oh no, we always do this. We like to stretch our stomachs before Christmas lunch so we can eat more.
But I don't understand that, because isn't it just eating loads of food?
Well, yeah.
Oh, I've heard
you can't
this.
Eat
I've heard
more.
People say this about.
Isn't that horrible? I just thought, I kind of knew it was over anyway before I went.
Yeah,
but that was the absolute, that was the nail in the coffin. I thought, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Are you going out with The Rock? What?
I mean, I've heard people say like...
People have got weird Christmases, though, haven't they?
Breakfast meant to stretch your stomach so you can eat more later on in the day. I've heard people say that. But I don't know why this family decided it has to be a steak.
Such
it's a weird. Creepy thing to... Wake up and they're all fried steaks going, we're stretching our stomachs.
I know. It's horrible.
But other people's Christmases are weird.
They are, yeah. And they must never be sampled.
No.
That's what I learned. Uh-huh. They must never be sampled. Never, ever, ever have Christmas at anyone else's.
Well, I've been to my wife's family a couple of times for Christmas.
Okay, so that's, yeah.
And that's quite often when I was having Christmas with my mum's, we're quite close to their family geographically, so we can literally just, I can drive over, spend a bit of time there and drive back. But then we spent Christmas there. And it's similar.
Yeah.
But they eat so late.
Oh, no, I can't bear that.
They have
Christmas. Like what, Christmas lunch at 5?
I know my mother-in-law will be listening to this.
Oh.
But we had Christmas lunch so late.
Time, 6 p.m.
It was like late. It was late, late. It was like 5. Or...
I remember this because I was literally getting texts.
Yeah.
While it was happening, going.
And look, it was.
Still haven't had it.
It was worth the wait. It was worth the wait. Absolutely fantastic. And, my mother-in-law had made some compromises for me because I'd mentioned I like parsnips. And she was like, what? Why? Mm. We do not have parsnips with Christmas lunch. So then she made some parsnips.
Oh, she did.
But a little gesture like that can make you feel at home at Christmas if you're at someone else's.
Yeah. I'm never going to do it again, though. Never.
Never.
Never, ever, ever, ever. We have, my husband actually, I know, he's never said it, but I know he finds it weird. We have a tradition. And again, it's the 70s. This is, the 70s coming into play. We always have, with Christmas dinner, a tin of sweet corn.
I think I'd walk out.
You see, I can see in your faces. I know he cannot bear this, but I have to. Because it's tradition. It's what we did. It's what we always did.
But how did that happen?
I don't know. Mum, probably a few sherries down the old, you know, gullet, just thinking, just throw in the sweet corn. You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's lovely with gravy.
Yeah.
Mashed potato.
We always start with still or sparkling water for your dream meal. Do you have a preference?
I don't like water.
Here we go.
Wow. Here we go.
Now,
a big swing already.
You and Claudia Winkleman.
Oh, did Winkle say that?
Winkles hates water.
I will have a sparkling water with a dash of something. I'll have a sparkling water with a dash of, let's say, elderflower. Mm-hmm. Sparkling water with a dash of, I don't know, essence of raspberry, something like that. But neat sparkling water, no thank you, ma'am.
But neat still as well? You feel the same about neat still?
Well, it depends how thirsty you are.
Yeah.
Look, if I'm super thirsty, I would drink anything. I'd drink a puddle, I'd drink, you know.
You drink a puddle?
You know, I wouldn't. I'd never do that. Would you?
No. Depends where the puddle is.
I wouldn't drink a puddle.
Yeah, it depends where the puddle is.
Where's the puddle in this scenario?
Yeah, if it's in a sort of crystal, if it was in Iceland,
yeah,
super clean.
Mm-hmm. I drink an Iceland puddle.
I've often thought, as I prepare the dogs' water bowls, if I was desperate, would I drink their water?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Would you?
If I'd seen them drink out of it.
Yeah, exactly. If you've seen them drink out of it.
I think not.
What's the... Okay, so I'm just struggling to imagine the scenario where you're letting your dogs have a drink and then you're so desperate for a drink that you push your dog out of the way. And
let's not forget the use of the word often in this setup of... You've often thought this.
Yeah.
Is this every time you fill up the water bowls you think, could I?
Because the dog bowls are around the whole time, aren't they? They're just there in the kitchen the whole time. So whenever I go into the kitchen, I just like, I just think, would I if I was desperate?
So say they've shut
the water. They've shut off the water.
And all that's left is the water in the dog bowl.
It's the water in the dog bowl.
Yeah.
Would you drink it if you... Of course you would.
I don't think I would.
Would you, Mel? Here's a really good question, though. If you absolutely had to...
Yeah.
Do you think you'd have the wherewithal to bend down, pick up the bowl and drink it like a human, or would you go hands and knees?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, while you're thinking, it didn't even occur to me to drink it like a human.
Really?
Yeah, I just thought, yeah, I'm getting
hands
down
and knees to show the dog's respect. You're drinking the dog's water, you've got to show respect to the dogs.
Well, I'm with you, James.
Yes.
I would get on all fours, go down and lap it up. And don't dogs... Hang on. There's a difference between a dog and a cat. A cat...
There are loads, yeah.
Okay. Get out. Wow. Yeah.
Doesn't a cat use its tongue and sort of cup it up towards itself so the tongue bends into itself?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I've got a cat. I should have noticed
little,
this,
have
really.
A little, so they go like that. They sort of... Like a sort of scooping action.
Yeah.
But doesn't a dog... Do it the other way.
Up and in.
Yeah, lap, 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 and then scoop, scoop, scoop.
Yeah, maybe.
That's something to think about.
It is.
When you're down there in the dog bowl.
I often think, Mel, when I'm scooping my cat's litter tray,
oof.
If I was desperate, could I go toilet in this litter tray?
I thought you were going to say, would you eat it? Oh, of course I would.
You go in the litter tray?
Yeah. Oh, come on, team. Let's not be, come on. James, come on.
Number one or number two?
Both. Yeah. It's in your own house.
Yeah.
You're worried about that.
I would actively like to have a wee in the litter tray because the litter is clumping.
Yes.
So it all solidifies into a big ball. I'd like to see what happens if I
you
went for
must
one.
Have done it, Ed.
I've not done honestly not done it. Honestly not done it. I wouldn't if I'd done it, I wouldn't have brought it up. I would have just told you I'd done it.
Yeah.
I can't believe God, because I've never owned cats, so I've never had that conundrum.
Maybe this Christmas, maybe after a Christmas party or be a bit drunk and decide to use the litter tray.
Yeah. Does it have a lid on it or is it just open?
It does. It's quite a deep thing.
Okay,
it's got a
it's
lid
like a
on it
hatch,
with a hole
it?
With a hole in the top and then he goes into the hole and sits there. So you just see these sort of the tops of his ears while he's in the toilet.
So would you go through the hole or would you take the lid off?
It's not that big, Will.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, I was assuming
when
you said it's not that big.
What's not that big?
No, the hole.
Oh, the hole.
But I thought you were asking me, would I fully get inside the litter tray?
No!
Mel, did you think...
No, oh dear. Oh dear. Visual geometry, it was never my strong point.
I don't even understand what you thought I might have been saying in relation to the hole.
I think you thought I was saying be squatting over with the lid on and pooing into the hole.
No, yeah. I was imagining aiming.
Yeah.
Number onesies.
And you thought
through the
hole. I was suggesting that my penis was so small I couldn't aim it anywhere.
And then you looked so apologetic.
I got embarrassed.
When Ed said it's not that big, you looked like, oh, I'm so sorry that I made you have to talk about your tiny penis.
Yes, Mel, I have a micro penis and I can't even get it with my fingers.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to aim it through any hole because that's how small it is.
I have to lie flat on my face with my crotch in the litter tray.
Guys, that was very confusing.
Yeah, well, you thought I was saying something different as well.
No, I thought Mel was saying you would squat over and dump into the hole or whatever, and that when you said it's not that big, you were talking about the hole isn't that big.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So therefore,
but what I was assuming Mel was saying, would I get fully into the litter tray? Obviously not, because it's not that big.
Crouching in the litter tray.
But I would take. Yes, I would probably. I'd probably take the lid off.
Take the lid off and then
go toilet in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it's open season.
I think it's open season.
If you've got cat litter there, just make use. As a lady of a certain age, who these days, sorry gang, to share with you lovely young'uns, you know, it gets tricky, you know. What am I trying to say? I often waz in the garden. Because I can't make it into the front door, guys. This is welcome to the menopause.
What am I trying to say? I often was in the garden.
No, I'm sorry.
You had two choices there. Who you make eye contact with? Thank you for making it me.
But honestly, it's like Pavlov's dog, aka. I don't know why I keep saying that, but anyway, I quite like it.
Yeah.
You have the key, your front door key, ready and waiting.
So that makes you need a wee.
So I get the key out because I think, oh, I'll be really efficient. Mm. And I go around the corner, I see the house, and then things just escalate.
Yeah.
And one doesn't sometimes make it through the door.
Mm. Yeah.
Hence, it's like the cat litter. Mm. Your garden is your own.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So...
Look, you can water your garden.
But is it your front garden?
Front garden.
As in... Yeah, I'm not talking. Yeah, but I'm not doing euphemisms. But like, it's your front garden. So are you? But are you risking being seen by your neighbours?
I've grown a quince tree. See, you can get under that full coverage. It's a very good grower. It's grown quickly.
Yeah.
2 years. Can I just say something? And it is very much related to this. I was quite shocked. Ordered an Indian takeaway the other night from a place that we love.
Where is this going? Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. It's our local. Really nice family run. Mm. And was really excited. And a couple of friends were coming round, which is also lovely. And the door went, opened the door. And my friend Lisa had the takeaway in her hand. She went, get inside. So we got inside and shut the door. And the guy that had delivered the food had taken a waz in the front garden.
No.
Yeah.
Whoa. Under the quince tree?
Not even under the quince tree. By the bins. Not even into a flower bed.
Oh, no.
And do you know what? I'm so ruddy British and polite. I never even phoned them to complain.
No.
And we get the food.
And you'll get another takeaway from there, won't you?
Yeah. I think that's bad, though.
That's bad. It is bad. That is
awful.
Bad. Yeah.
Deliver a takeaway and then take a waz in the person you've just delivered to.
Yeah.
It is awful.
It's really bad. It's delicious, though.
Yeah?
It's good food.
Yeah.
Good food.
Yeah.
Can't complain.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once you've digested the food, you dumped it in the same place anyway, didn't you? right near where he got.
Yeah, no wonder that quince tree grew quickly.
Oh, God. I can't believe he did it on concrete, though. There's something really disrespectful.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, at least do it into a flower bed.
Also, for yourself, you don't want splashback, do you?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's disgraceful.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Pom-loms or bread? Pom-loms or bread, Mel Gedwick? Pom-loms or bread?
Oh, God. Okay, have we got the chutneys?
Yeah, you got whatever you want.
Oh, yeah, you got the chutneys.
Well, of course, it's Pops.
Is it Pops All the Way?
It's Pops All the Way because you have the beautiful array of your lime chili, your lime chutney, your mint chutney, your yogurty minty.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mango chutney?
Yeah. With your breads, it's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit Route One, isn't it, with the breads?
Sure.
What do you do with the breads? I mean, there's nothing to go on the bread.
Butter.
Butter. I suppose oil. There is butter. Yeah. No, it's too claggy as well.
Okay, so you want the crispy, the sort of
crispy
textures
crispy snacky.
And yeah.
Yeah, crispy snacky. Love that.
I mean, you just ate a packet of mini cheddars. You want to talk about claggy?
Have you heard a mini cheddar when it's in action?
They're claggy. They get claggy in your mouth. Mm. It's a snapper and then it clags up.
It goes snap to clag very quickly.
I don't think it goes to clag, a mini cheddar.
Really?
Not when I'm masticating. Definitely not.
You swallow them pretty much whole though, don't you?
I go very, very fast. I woof them down. I love a mini cheddar at Christmas, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
The big sort of tubs of mini cheddars they sell at Christmas.
Yeah. I love, in fact, thank you for tubs. Any tub at Christmas is a joy, isn't it? A tub of Twiglets.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Tub of cheds, tub of twigs.
Yeah.
Tubs aren't a year-round. If you eat a tub during the rest of the year, you feel pretty gross, I'd say.
A tub of Jaffa cakes. You know, those elongated, like a tube.
Oh, yeah.
Only at Christmas.
Yeah.
Those are great.
They're good.
Yeah, really good.
What's the biggest Toblerone you've ever eaten?
Oh, I think it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Everything was a bit oversized, you know, a bit flash Harry. I think... I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, no.
He was in Blackadder, wasn't he?
Flash Harry was.
No.
Flash Hart.
Harry Flash Hart.
Yeah.
I loved him. Rick Mail.
Yeah.
I would say it was a real big un, and it was from...
Not Ed's then.
No, not mine.
I think it had come straight from Switzerland.
Had it?
Yeah. Somebody had been, it was the 80s, on a skiing holiday.
Trevor.
It's probably Trevor.
Definitely Trevor.
They would definitely go on skiing holidays. Yeah. And my mum and dad would be a little bit disapproving.
Mm.
It was a little bit like, oh, great, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Oh!
They might have even brought you that big Toblerone, you never know.
I don't think it was them, actually, but they could have done.
Just post that, yeah.
Yeah.
What are we talking, like a big airport boy?
I'm salivating.
Yeah.
I'm salivating. But, so good. But you know what I love? And I don't know when it came in. You guys can probably tell me. When the dark Toblerone came in. Which year was that?
I think I was... which year was that? 90s? In the 90s? I was still a kid. I remember.
Was dark pre-white?
Oh, white.
Too sweet. Far too sweet.
I can't even... anything white chocolate, guys.
Really?
Anything... Oh, it makes me feel so ill. Yeah. I could actually make myself sick live on your podcast.
Imagining white chocolate.
Yeah. Imagine being forced. You know Bruce Bogtrotter in Matilda?
Imagine.
Yeah. Imagine if that chocolate was white.
Okay. Yeah.
listen to this. There's a company in Leeds called Get Baked, and they do a cake called the Bruce, which is inspired by
the Bruce Bogtrotter
cake. 12 layers of this fudge chocolate fudge cake thing, and they only sell it in slices because it's so massive. And they sent me a slice, and it's the best thing ever.
Is it?
Ed sent me a photo of it. We got it.
It's insane.
Am I wrong in thinking, Ed?
Please.
There's white chocolate icing on the outside.
I was sent the Bruce wearing a white tux, which is a different version, which has a bit of white chocolate on the outside.
Oh, that's evil. That is wrong. That reminds me of the cakes they used to make for their dogs on Blue Peter. when the icing was always white.
Thank you to Get Baked.
No, I'm sure Get Baked are amazing.
No, they are.
I would never ever diss a baked good. Yeah. But 12 layers.
I mean, it was big. I want to hear more about these dog cakes though. What?
Yes.
What?
Also, I think it's pretty rich that you're turning your nose up at dog cakes when you'd happily drink out their bowls and shit in the cat litter.
Oh, God.
Let's go on to your dream menu proper. Right. Your dream starter.
It's all that talk of white chocolate. It's making me...
Joe, one of my favourite outtakes to watch is online is you burping on Taskmaster.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there on Taskmaster, you burp in front of the studio.
Awful.
In front of everybody.
Oh, dear. Just awful. Awful, awful.
It's great.
Dream starter. Oh, dear, it's backing up. It's the talk of the white chocolate. I'm thinking in my mind's eye of the dog cake on Blue Peter. Oh, dear. Dry crackers.
What?
We need dry crackers.
Oh, I thought that was your dream starter.
Well, I'm going to say a cracker with mackerel pate on. Is that weak? Is that a weak starter?
It's just weird. I don't think we've ever had a starter that starts with the word a cracker with
a mackerel pate.
I love a mackerel pate.
Oh, my God.
You're absolutely preaching to the converted here.
I mean,
love a mackerel pate.
Do you make it?
No.
It's quite easy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Would you go for chopped hard-boiled eggs inside it? Do you like a chopped hard-boiled egg?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I do.
I wouldn't necessarily think of it in a mackerel pate.
No, it's nice.
I don't hate the sound of it.
It's a nice little addendum. It's lovely. Yeah.
I do love a mackerel pate. It's a very good choice.
I love a mackerel pate. I would go for that. I'd go for that. I was going to say but no, I'm going to go for
There's
that.
No or.
Okay. On a cracker rather than like little toasts or bread.
Oh, now you're talking.
Mm.
But having dissed the bread and gone for the poppadoms, do I look like a hypocrite by saying toast?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Oh,
Don't worry what people think about
you. Yeah.
You just go for what you want.
You've already had the snap of the poppadoms, right?
Yeah.
No, you can afford a little bit of softness in the toast or...
No, I want to keep it snap.
Cracker?
Pop. What about a little French toast?
Yeah.
Which is really... Wow. I love a French toast.
Yeah?
Yeah. But the starter that I'm thinking of, it's kind of a build your own.
Mm.
I don't want to be presented with a plate with crackers and mackerel pate pre-done.
No.
Uh-huh. I want to build it myself.
Okay, so how much mackerel pate do you want?
Tons. Yeah, and a whole Christmas tub of crackers, so I can just and just...
Like a whole sleeve.
A sleeve.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I want a whole blouson sleeve of crackers for my starters.
Great.
Although one doesn't want to fill up too much.
Sure.
And it's easy to do when there's lots of, like, with lots of little bits, you just like...
If they go in quick, then that's fatal,
just
isn't it?
Posting them in.
Posting, yeah. So, yeah, maybe seven. Seven or eight?
Yep.
Seven or eight?
What sort of crackers are they?
I think I mentioned before, Ed. I would like French toast, please.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Well, blue French toast. Now, the French toast, do you mean Melbourne toast?
Melbourne toast.
Yeah.
That's the same as French toast, isn't it?
No.
No! Oh my God, what am I talking about? French toast is like with cinnamon and stuff.
Yeah.
I knew what you meant.
I wonder if you can call that French toast as well.
Maybe you can as well.
I wouldn't like the sweet one with the mackerel pate.
No, probably
not. I thought
reminds me.
Although I've had a savoury French toast before and it was delicious.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. A cafe in Manchester, I can't remember what it was called.
Café de Milba?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was good stuff.
Oui.
That was like with mushrooms and truffle and
champignons,
all sorts.
Ouais.
Les
truffes, ouais. C'est bon.
You speak fluent French, don't you?
It's French.
Yeah, yeah.
It's French.
Yeah. Taskmaster again, that's how I know that.
Oh!
You and Desky.
Desky! God, don't you love Desk?
Yes.
Yeah, truly. A wonderful man.
He's absolutely great, isn't he?
Yeah.
I was so chuffed when I found out that I was doing Taskmaster with Desky. I just thought, oh, everything's going to be fine. Do you know that thing?
Yeah.
Funny when you're calling him Desky as well. Just back to the studio. What's all this?
he didn't love it.
No. he kept that secret for years.
Yeah.
He completely blew it.
Now he's Desky.
Desky.
Yeah.
It is a terrible name, isn't it?
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course?
Scotch eggs. What? What? Guys, what's the problem? What is the problem here? Have you ever had a homemade Scotch egg?
Yeah, and they're amazing.
And you have to pronounce it Scotch egg. As if it's just one word.
Yeah, Scotch egg.
We went on tour. Sue and I went on tour with a brilliant band once. Mm-hmm. And Denny, the guitarist, always said Scotch egg.
Yeah.
And we just picked it up.
Tales from the road.
Do you know that? Scotch egg.
Scotch egg.
All right, Den. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm going to have a Scotch egg. How often
was Denny having a Scotch egg?
Oh, daily.
Yeah,
daily.
But these weren't like the homemade, like...
No. This would have been absolute, you know, stop in your old petrol station.
Yeah.
Follow the feet on the floor to the microwave, you know, one of those.
But you're talking about, like, one from a restaurant, a hot one, runny middle.
I'm talking poncy, man. Mm. I'm not going to be all disingenuous and say, oh, no, one from Tesco's fine. I want an absolute expensive humdinger of a Scotch egg.
Yeah. I mean...
Come on.
They're delicious.
Oh, look, it's great.
You're having it hot from the fryer?
Of course.
Nice soft yolk, not running out of it, but it's like that perfect kind of like...
Yeah, it's got to be perfect.
What's the meat? Because you can get loads of different ones.
Well, interestingly, I was very fortunate enough. Big Zoo, his amazing chefs, they made me a Scotch egg.
Yeah.
And it was lamb.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And you know what? I'm not going to lie, before I had it, I thought, will this be as good as the Scotch eggs that I'm used to? It was better.
Right.
It was spicy lamb mince. Not mince. Meat. Lamb meat.
Yeah, but it would be mince.
It would be mince.
Yeah, it'd be mince, yeah.
James, you're so sweet. Really encouraging. Going,
Yeah,
it's mince.
It'd be mince, yeah. Because you've got to shape it around the egg, right?
Yeah, so it's
got to
be. With herbs, guys.
Yeah, with herbs. Shout out to Tubbsy and Hyder.
Oh.
Tubbsy and Hyder, man.
Tubbsy and Hyder.
I mean, you said you love Tubbs at Christmas.
Oh. Yeah.
Tubbsy's coming to town.
I love those two.
Yeah, they're great. It's such a fun show to do.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
And they really do make some excellent food.
They make some incredible food.
I burnt the roof of my mouth on the first bite.
Oh, what did you have?
Well, they did me a poppadoms or bread thing because of the podcast.
Oh, of course. Oh.
I stuck it in my mouth. Delicious. Instantly burnt the roof of my mouth.
Stuck to the roof?
I went in too fast. So took a layer of skin off the roof of my mouth in pain for the rest of the episode, eating everything. It was all delicious. And luckily, the final dish was loads of ice cream. So I really went, I ate the whole of that.
Smoking.
Yeah, I ate all of that. Thank you, Tamsin and Hyder. Thank you, Big Sue.
Do you know what? Talking of hot foods that one eats too quickly, I remember this so clearly. It was November the 5th, bonfire night. Mm. Chowed into a baked potato. Mm. Fainted. Blooming fainted. And my mum thought I was... mucking about. Because I literally just went, at the dinner table. And I just remember waking up out of the faint to my mum going, stop it, Nelly! Stop it! You know, getting attention.
Yeah.
Getting attention again, sort of thing.
Because it was so hot, you fainted.
It was so hot. It was really unpleasant.
It was so hot, you fainted.
Yeah. I'm really greedy. Yeah. My mum timed dinner once in the 70s. It could have been the 80s. Timed our dinner, a family dinner. So the six of us around the table.
Just a relaxing, chilled out dinner.
Relaxing, chilled dinner. Yeah. 7 minutes.
Your whole dinner.
Start to finish.
The whole family.
Because she used to bug the absolute crap out of her. Because obviously she went to the massive effort of cooking. Mm. Beautiful, you know, lovely food every single day. And it used to, we just went like that, you know.
So she timed it. Did she tell you she was going to time it?
No.
So when it's finished, she went, right, let's have a look. That's 7 minutes.
I think it might even have been less than 7 minutes, actually.
Yeah.
That's quite bad. Do you know you're supposed to chew something 40 times?
It's crazy. It's however many times you're supposed to chew something, it's mad.
Have you tried that?
Yeah, it takes ages.
But it's disgusting.
And it's horrible by the end, yeah.
40 times. Imagine eating doing your Christmas dinner and having to chew every mouthful 40 times.
No, it's awful.
Thank you.
Everything down in 7 minutes. Pass out on the table. Jobs are good. Mel just burped again.
Onto the cat litter.
Every time Mel burps, just looks over at me. Every time. Looks right at me, does it again?
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. It's not clever and it's awful. I'm sorry.
Do you want the Big Zoo Tubsy Hyder lamb scotch eggs for your main course, then, your dream main course? Or do you want a selection
of scotch eggs? Plural.
Yeah.
I think scotch eggs. Let's go plural. Let's go for a Tubsy Hyder. And let's go for I went to a lovely pub in Gloucestershire about a year ago, and they did a super Scotch egg, handmade. I'd go for that again.
Yeah,
I can't remember what the pub was called, but it was one of those really sort of cosy wozy, you know, fire on Cotswold stone. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? One
was
of those.
That like a traditional pork Scotch egg?
It was. It was. I think it was a bit poncy, actually.
Yeah,
it was a bit poncy. It was really delicious.
I had a very good Scotch egg from there's a bakery in Bristol, below Temple Mead Station.
Oh yeah,
called Hart Bakery.
In the subway bit when you go to the
So you walk down the slope and then you can go back in. And there's like just under the slope is Hart Bakery, which is fantastic. They did a Scotch egg with like naga chili, so it was quite spicy. It was fantastic.
Hart,
HART.
I'll remember that. I will travel for a Scotch egg.
Yeah.
I will.
And it's pretty easy because it's right next to the train station.
Yeah. I love a Scotch egg. Even a cheapo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your shirt, James, is the colour of a Scotch egg.
Is it? Yeah. The yolk?
The
outside?
Yeah, you look like a lovely Scotch egg.
Oh, dear me. That's what you keep looking at.
I know.
Burping
at you.
My eyes keep locking with you across the table because you're wearing a Scotch egg.
Wearing a Scotch egg.
There's something about that initial purchase of tooth into outer casing.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
Let's talk about that, because that first bite of a Scotch egg, I want to get egg in there. And I don't like it when sometimes
it falls out.
I just get the
outer
meat and the egg stays inside untouched. I'm like, oh, God damn it.
I don't know how you feel about this, but with the big posh Scotch eggs in restaurants, etc., when they're hot, how do you feel about the slice in half and then you bite a half? So you get a cut through, you can see everything. Big size bite,
I'll
you get everything.
That.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I found that's very satisfying, actually.
Yeah, I'll definitely go for that.
Yeah. I've had a black pudding one recently as well.
Yeah.
So instead of sausage meat, it's black pudding on the outside. Very, very good.
Unbelievable.
We can whack one of those on there for you as well if you want.
Let's have a sort of a pyramid of Scotch eggs.
Like a Ferrero Rocher pyramid, but Scotch eggs.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And somebody comes in and says, what's the catchphrase? Oh, the ambassador's always delighted to see you.
No, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. What's the catchphrase?
What is it? What? Hang on. Oh, the what is it? Well, the ambassador is always delighted to see you or something. That sounds wrong. Really lame catchphrase. What is it? Oh, the ambassador's reception is always... Something about the ambassador's reception.
Go on.
The was it voiceover or was it actually somebody speaking? I think it was a voiceover, wasn't it? The ambassador's receptions were always highly talked about. Something like that.
And then someone would come in and say, the ambassador is always pleased to see you.
It wasn't that, was it?
No, it wasn't even that.
Close enough.
It was.
Do you know?
Our ambassador with these Ferrero Rocher is already spoiled it.
Oh, James. It is. That really annoys me.
No, I think you're pretty close with the ambassador is always very happy to see you here.
What is it again, James? Yeah,
ambassador's receptions were always highly talked about.
What was
our ambassador with his Ferrero Rocher, you're really spoiling us.
That's exactly it. Our ambassador with his Scotch eggs, you are really spoiling us.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, it's the spoiling us, isn't it? That's the key.
Yeah. It's a Christmas episode, so we're going to hear about your Christmas dinner now. We've had a lot of nice Christmas chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, what would be your dream Christmas meal? What are you having?
Do you know, right, this is what I'd love to do on Christmas.
Yeah.
With your Christmas dinner, you've got to have everything, a.k.a. all the trimmings.
All the trimmings.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of thing, you have to. You've got your potatoes, you've got your sprouts, you've got your carrots, you've got your parsnips, you've got your turkey, the whole darn thing.
Put your tin of sweet corn.
And your tin of sweet corn. Yep. Thank you, Ed.
Yes.
What I would like to do is just do away with the slightly boring elements and just go for the highlights.
Okay.
Take us through what the boring elements are.
Boring elements, the potatoes.
Wow.
Whoa, that is huge.
Sorry.
That's a big swing.
That is huge.
I sense hostility in
here. No hostility here.
No.
I think it's about time someone remixed the Christmas dinner. I just feel like there's going to be a lot of people listening.
That's a bridge too far, isn't it?
That is sacrilege.
Mute all your socials when this goes out.
I'm not on any.
Well, congratulations, because...
Yeah.
I'm not on a single platform.
Superb is going to get a load of shit.
Yeah.
Off the back of this episode.
I'm going to be... Just prepare for this, guys. Buckle up. I'm saying do away with the turkey.
Wow.
Potatoes and turkey and sprouts.
Okay.
And carrots and parsnips.
Okay,
so you're just going to have a tin of sweet corn for Christmas dinner?
I'm going to go for pigs in blankets, stuffing, gravy, tin of sweet corn. Because those are my highlights.
Yeah.
Well, and the bread sauce. I love
apologies to the Quince tree. With this load going in. Just pigs and blankets and sweet corn.
Yeah. Well, like, actually, I think the Quince tree will get about a month off.
Yeah.
I love bread sauce, guys. Yeah. I could literally upend a vat of bread sauce and just go, I love it with gravy.
Yeah.
In fact, let's do away with the pigs and blankets.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Right, now you're going too far.
So and possibly the sweet corn. And just have the bread sauce and gravy.
And
bread
stuffing.
Sauce and gravy is your dream Christmas
and stuffing.
Meal. Bread sauce, gravy and stuffing, that's your dream Christmas meal.
Yeah, I could do that.
That's great.
It's like Christmas dinner in an old people's home.
It's
all nice and soft stuff you can chew with no teeth.
Now, here's what I'm about to ask you. And we have only just met today.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit hesitant asking you this.
Go on.
But...
am I free for a drink after the show?
Yes. When Sue came on, she told a story that's very memorable to the listeners.
Oh, yeah.
About a shaman who blew raspberry vodka up her bum.
So good.
You've just chosen for your Christmas dinner gravy and bread sauce. How would you like to consume that? Do you want to upend the vat, like you said, or do you want to get the shaman out?
The shaman is not available to all of our guests.
No, the shaman is only available to you.
And perks.
And perks.
And perks.
I'd worry about the clagging if the shaman was involved.
Yeah. Because
bread sauce, there's a lot more volume to it, isn't
there? And also because it would be, he'd be under the surface of a hot tub, wouldn't he?
Yes, because he is. Yes. He just got
even if the bread sauce wasn't going where it's going,
yeah.
I wouldn't be confident that he could blow bread sauce through a straw into a hot tub anyway.
I'd worry. It would.
It'd globule pretty quickly.
It would. Absolutely. Thank you for globule. I would. I'd like it out of a shoe. You know how in those really glamorous films you see people drinking, you know, champagne out of a shoe, like
a high heel. Yeah.
It's Christmas. Let's get it in a shoe.
Yeah.
Bread sauce in a shoe.
And upend it. Let's go mad.
Like a curly elf shoe.
Something like that. A Christmassy related shoe.
Yeah.
Is that the bread sauce and the gravy in the stew?
Yeah.
Shoe.
Not in a stew.
Sorry, I heard gravy and I went with stew.
Actually, that's the thing. They must be slightly separate. I don't like it all mushed up together.
Yeah.
You want to have your gravy, your bread sauce and your stuffing.
Yes.
Those are the highlights of the meal, guys.
I was on board with you until you got rid of pigs in blankets.
That was rash.
Rasher.
That was rasher, wasn't it? Yeah. It was. Yeah. Let's bring those back. Yeah. Can we have them back?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Let's bring them back.
Also, and it's a pun that's already been done on Taskmaster, but melon shoe?
Melon shoe.
Are we going to say that again?
Oh. Actually, I'm now thinking, the shoe is a bit comedy. No, I just want it on a plate. You know, I was trying to outdo Sue's anecdote, was what I was trying to do.
Yeah, fine.
I was trying to sort of be more off the wall. Well, you can't be more off the wall than a shaman blowing raspberry vodka up your noonoos.
Absolutely.
So, was it the noonoos or was it wherever it was?
It was up the bum.
Out the bum. So, I'm not going to say shoe. I'm going to just say, give me a good old fashioned plate.
Because you want everything divided.
Yeah.
Do you want a prison tray?
That would be nice.
You're welcome.
That would be nice. Prison tray.
So festive.
Yeah.
Just a grey.
Yeah.
Metallic. Prison tray.
You can have someone just slam it in. Just
yeah.
Bread sauce, gravy, stuffing.
Yeah,
that's it.
Oh, and also, Boxing Day for your sandwich.
Very important.
The same, bread sauce, gravy, stuffing.
How are you going to keep them separate though?
No, then you're allowed to mix them.
Okay.
Then you put a little bit of cranberry sauce in there too. But I love a Boxing Day sandwich with all the stuff that you've eaten the day before.
Well, congratulations, you've just invented the sloppiest sandwich known to man.
It's more of a savoury trifle. Yeah.
That's horrid.
You're not getting that to your mouth before it all falls out the bread back onto the plate again.
Yeah.
No way. Turkey's overrated, though.
Also.
Turkey's overrated. You know, I've had good turkey, I've had bad turkey.
Mm. Also, this from the person who turned their nose up at dog cakes earlier, and the dog's birthday cakes on Blue Peter, and they're like, what I would like to eat is bread sauce... stuffing
and gravy.
That sounds like a dog cake.
That sounds like a dog food. The dog cakes on Blue Peter.
Does it sound weird?
Yeah, because you've got the gravy. You've got the gravy and the meat element. So stuffing's basically dog food for humans.
Yeah,
you mash all that together, and then the white outside, which is the bread sauce.
I've created the dog. You've created a new dog cake. Actually, what I want, isn't it? That's weird. Oh, guys, that's a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you might. Actually want to be a dog on Blue Peter.
The best turkey I've ever eaten was, it's a Nigella Lawson recipe, actually, I have to say. She marinades the whole ruddy turkey.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
No.
For 48 hours. It is sublime.
Yeah, yeah.
Sublime. In a bath of herbs and spices.
Wow.
It is Sir Ruddy Blime.
You don't want that on your Christmas?
I can't be arsed. Can't be asked.
I mean, there's no effort on your part, just so you know.
No, I know.
Yeah,
yeah. Even just saying it, I just think of all the effort that's gone into it, and I don't want to put anyone through that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Even Nigella.
It takes too long. Bless her. She's got other things to do. Sure. I'll just stick to the bread, as I said, the bread sauce, the stuffing, and the gravy.
Yeah.
On a prison tray.
On a prison tray.
Beautiful.
Boxing Day, all together.
In a sandwich.
In a sandwich. Your dream side dish.
Hugh Grant.
It's a loophole that no one's utilised before on the podcast.
Yeah, you can use that. Absolutely.
You want Hugh Grant to come in?
Granty.
To share a Scotch egg with you?
If he was curled up on a little plate.
Yeah.
Just, you know, being his normal little self.
Yeah.
Just... very posh, very, very posh. I'd absolutely, I would love that.
Yeah.
I'm objectifying him a bit, and I do apologise.
No, you go for it.
To Hugh.
When you say he's all curled up on a plate, you want a little Hugh Grant or normal-sized actual Hugh Grant?
I'm actually, do you know what I'm thinking about? We were talking about Taskmaster.
Yeah.
In our Taskmaster, Series 4, Noel was on it, Noel Fielding.
Yes.
Do you remember when he disguised
himself? Camouflage, the camouflage task.
Camouflage banana.
As yeah, as a banana.
And he ends up in the fruit bowl. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing Hugh Grant in a little, in a mini one.
So a mini Hugh Grant on a plate. You're not going to, are you going to eat the mini Hugh Grant?
I think that would be wrong.
Okay.
Okay, but are you going to do it?
Might lick him.
Yeah. Little lick.
That's a great side dish.
Yeah, Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. Now, if I may, and tell me if this is a step too far.
Oh, no, here we go.
You got a little Hugh Grant there. A shaman comes in.
I've got cramp, guys. Hang on. I've actually got really...
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh,
oh no.
Sorry, team. Let me just...
That's all right.
I think it was the talk of Hugh Grant.
Well, don't touch your house keys and we'll be all right.
Yeah, you don't go anywhere near those house keys. Keep your hands where we can see them.
I've just cramped up my right leg.
Oh, no.
Sorry, gang. That's lack of potassium or something, isn't it?
Maybe.
You've had a bag of mini cheddars, so I doubt it.
While you're walking it off, do you want to talk about Baked Alaska Gate?
Ooh. Oh, my Lord. Alaska Gate. Now, sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. It was just the Hugh Grant chat cramped my leg up. Baked Alaska Gate. I mean, the drama.
Yeah.
It was outrageous. It was outrageous. I'm saying all this because I'm trying to remember exactly what happened.
Sue said that she tried to talk him down. She tried to talk him down.
Do you remember the incident itself?
I like the way she puts herself into the centre of the drama there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was me trying to talk him down.
Yeah.
He was in a bad mood. Ian.
Yes.
Ian.
From the moment he walked in that morning. He just was. You could see it all over his... His eyebrows were very, you know, when people knit their eyebrows, you just know, oh, hello, give them a little bit of space. You can just tell. There was some.
So you're saying when people are in a really weird, bad mood at the Bake Off tent, people know to stay clear of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you go up and make some terrible pun about what they're baking, either or.
Those days were over by the time I got in there. No one was punning anymore.
Oh, they made some weird ice creams that day. Somebody was making a goat milk ice cream, which stank. I can't remember who that was. But you know when you can recall a smell?
Yeah.
A smell brings you back to a place more than anything, almost, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember who it was. One of the benches had this disgusting goat milk ice cream. Anyway, Ian sort of, you know, growling away. And it was something like 32 degrees, you know, of all the days to be making baked Alaska.
I would feel terrible for them on those days.
Oh, my God. Awful. Like when they're trying to temper chocolate.
Tempering chocolate, anything ice cream based.
Nightmare. And back in the day, I don't know what it's like now, but I think the budget's probably a lot bigger, isn't it, on Channel 4?
I'm not sure.
Back in the days of the BBC Bake Off, there wasn't enough, there wasn't enough freezer space.
Wasn't.
They hadn't thought it through. So they were all, you know, desperately trying to get freezer space. And I can't remember what happened.
Someone took his out for a second, I think, to put that. Someone thought that his was done.
Diana.
Took his out.
Diana thought. His had sesame seeds in it. I remember now. It was a sesame seed and something ice cream. Paul and Mary then said that there is no way, it was out for 31 seconds, I think.
Yeah.
There is no way that if the ice cream had been properly made, it would have melted in that time, even in 32 degree heat.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they said his, you know, wasn't any good.
That was it.
But silly man, because he made a lovely sponge.
Yeah, and they all went straight in the bin.
He ruddy binned it.
Do you remember how you felt when it went in the bin?
Quite sort of, this is going to make good tennis.
you loved it.
And it was one of those bins I seem to remember that was a pedal bin.
Yeah.
So you saw the foot just woof.
Very
satisfying. And the top, and it just, you know, like eating a mini cheddar, just fell swoop. Just.
Yeah,
Paul actually said, Ian, you could have brought up the contents of that bin to be judged.
Yeah.
And we'd have put you through. But he just threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
So he was a goner.
He was a goner.
Your dream drink. You got little Hugh Grant there as your side dish.
Mm, big Scotch.
You've given him a lick. What are you washing that down with?
Bacardi and Coke. Bacardi and Diet Coke, I should say.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's a fun drink.
Yeah?
Because you've got your...
Ben's having a great time.
Yeah, Ben's loving this.
Ben's great. you've got your the joy of the Bacardi that gives you the woo-hoo-hoo, ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding- the Diet Coke keeps you going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the young'uns these days would have, let's say, a Jägermeister and a Red Bull.
Or an espresso martini.
Thank you.
That sort of stuff, yeah.
So you've got your fun, and then you've got your, let's keep going with the fun. The fun prolonger, if you will, all in one drink.
So are you partying after your dream meal?
Yeah.
You're going to hit the town?
Partying throughout it, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But would you have Bacardi and Coke with a meal?
Well, I like a cup of tea with a meal. I'm sure you've had loads of people on the podcast who said a cup of tea.
Not many, a couple of people.
Yeah, there's not been many people picked.
Yeah. I don't think drinks should be boxed away into this is just a drink.
Yeah.
And you can only drink the drink when you're having a drink. I think drinks should be allowed to be drunk with food.
Oh, that's a very... I hope that gets typed out in its entirety and posted online as an inspiring quote.
Yes. I'd hang that in my toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yes.
All that was missing there was a comma and the word ambassador at the end of it.
Ambassador, you've really spoiled us with these. It was one of those Euro adverts, wasn't it? So that
You got the quote wrong there again, by the way.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Was it?
It wasn't ambassador. You've really spoiled us with that. With this.
What was it again, James? What is it?
Ambassador with these Ferrero Rochers. You're really spoiling
us. Ambassador with these Ferrero Rochers. You're really spoiling. You've got to have
to see like a sketch of you in that advert and getting the line wrong every time.
Every single time. Right, cut, Mel.
Ambassador, that's what I call food.
Ambassador, you're so kind.
And then the punchline is you finally get the line right and knock the pyramid over.
Yeah, yeah. you lean on it. They go straight through it. Bam.
Oh, I do love a Ferrero Rocher. Can we have those for pudsies?
Is that your dream pudding? Is another pyramid? It's the second pyramid of the meal.
Let's stay with the pyramid.
Yeah.
Let's stay with the pyramid. Let's do a pyramid of Scotch egg.
Well, Bacardi and Coke, you know, like a champagne pyramid.
Yeah.
You could do that with...
Yeah.
All the glasses have got Bacardi in them, and then you pour the Diet Coke from the top and it all floods in.
That's good.
Yeah?
Exciting, isn't it?
Have you ever drunk off a frozen swan? You know, have you?
Yeah.
I've never done that, like a vodka.
Yeah, a vodka ice sculpture at a Halloween party that my agency threw.
Nice?
It was fun.
I'd love to drink out of an ice sculpture.
I did. Mock the Week had thrown a party.
You guys in your comedy party.
Actually, no, it wasn't. It was after a record of Mock the Week. Then we learned that QI were throwing a party upstairs.
Lovely.
So we all snuck in, and they had a swan ice sculpture.
What?
And myself, that you could drink out, that people could pour booze in, and it would come down. But it was a doubler. So it'd be two swan heads, and you had to both, two of you had to do it. And it was vodka.
How the other panel
was.
Shows live.
Yeah,
well,
it was a real.
I thought the Beeb had really cut back on there,
Years ago.
Oh, it was ages and ages ago.
Yeah.
Still an
now
ice sculpture.
Now there's only one swan head at the QI party.
Yeah.
That was a sad day.
Was that in Fridays or Toxic Days?
This was, I think it was Fridays, TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
But he wasn't there at the party. I remember Rod Gilbert was there. He was on the panel. Noel was there. He was on the panel. Then died of a heart attack during a thunderstorm. And Alan was there.
Yeah.
He was at the time regaling everyone with stories of playing a hobbit in the Lord of the Rings films.
Amazing.
But I remember at the Mott the Week drinks, there was a couple who had come to watch Mott the Week. They'd been given tickets, free tickets and backstage stuff, because there was a news story about how the guy was up late watching Mott the Week in bed. And because of that, he realised that his house was on fire. and was able to get everyone out of the house. And if he had not been watching Mock the Week, it wouldn't have happened. So there was a news story
He would have been watching something else.
Yeah, probably. But it's he probably had to say it was Mock the Week. I was staying up late watching on my own in a room away from my wife. the news story was Mock the Week saved our lives.
So he can't go to the set of what he was actually watching.
Never mind.
So they were there, the actual couple.
Conveniently, his laptop burnt up in the fire as well. But
his trousers and pants.
Yeah. Oh, shit, my trousers and pants were in there.
I had them on and they just went up in flames.
I had to roll them out. And we were like, the reason why we all crashed the QI party was because they had heard the rumours and they clearly wanted to, because they were like, we heard Yeah, it wasn't that demeaning for us because we never really knew
who any of us were. They sound quite crafty.
They were like, we've heard there's a QI party up there. Noah Fielding's up there. That's her favourite comedian.
Was it arson?
And we
arson?
Were like, come on then. Let's go upstairs.
That fire, was it arson? Did they do it themselves?
In order to meet Noah Fielding. In order to time it with the QI Christmas party. Might have been, actually.
It all fits.
Yeah.
I can't... I'm thinking back to panel shows.
Yeah.
And it's literally, it's a plastic, cup, tumbler of quash or, isn't it? I'm not even sure I've had booze of late on a panel show.
I've never seen the light before.
This is unbelievable.
On your panel show, you can
Unforgivable.
Do a bit of flexing on it and say, come on.
I don't think that we've got the budge, gang. I don't think we've got the budge.
I'll walk otherwise. If you're not getting an ice sculpture that we pour gravy and bread sauce down.
I'm walking. Bloody walking.
Yeah.
Do you know, but I don't think we've ever... Oh, yeah, they do have drinks. I don't think I've ever been to them.
No, because I guess did it start during height of COVID,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. There was no mingling at all.
Yeah.
I literally barely saw anyone. It was bizarre. You know what? You worked through that. Weird. Really weird.
I did Unforgivable during all of that.
Yes, you did.
And part of the distancing was you had to put a microphone on a long stick to interview some of the contributors from the public who came on. And you got this long microphone
pole. Yeah.
And you thrust it in this woman's face. And then she told you that she had a genuine phobia of foam.
It was a foam mic. She had a phobia.
She was absolutely terrified.
She was scared, wasn't
Mel
she?
Mel just losing her mind laughing, wiggling this big foam.
Oh, dear.
So it was just going up and down in her face.
It was. Just well remembered, Ed.
It was fantastic. I'd never forget that.
It was so
funny.
Well,
is it a pyramid of Ferrero Rocher for dessert, then?
And your Taskmaster sandwich, of course.
Oh.
For dessert.
The exotic sandwich.
Exotic sandwich.
You want that for dessert, the exotic sandwich?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, chuck it in there. M&M up the nose.
Oh, dear. Double deckers. I just remember the double deckers being the absolute needle on the camel's back. No, the straw that broke the camel's back. Double deckers.
Even worse if it's a needle, though.
I forget in yours. You ate stuff, didn't you?
We didn't have any eating
in
ours.
You didn't
have
any?
No eating.
Did you, James?
Yeah. Actually, some of our ones were... Actually, they didn't make us eat anything, but I did a lot of eating. Well, we had to make a Christmas cracker, and I chose the Christmas cracker contents to be a Christmas dinner.
Yes.
So I ate a lot of that while I was making it.
I remember that.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see how you feel about it.
Okay.
You would like sparkling water with a dash of something, maybe elderflower. Poppadoms or bread, poppadoms with all the dips. Starter, Melba toast with mackerel pate. Main course, a pyramid of expensive Scotch eggs, humdinger Scotch eggs, lamb mince, Tubsy and Hyder, one from the Gloucestershire pub, and the black pudding one that Ed mentioned.
I'm going to just suspect that Benita had a lot of trouble keeping up with this, writing it down.
Yeah, yeah.
By the rhythm in which you're reading it.
Also, it's a build your own Melba toast with the mackerel pate.
Thank you.
Christmas. Stuffing, bread sauce, gravy in a prison tray.
Pigs in blankets are back as
Boxing Day sandwich the next day.
Thank you.
Side dish, tiny Hugh Grant, give him a lick. Drink, a pyramid of Bacardi and Diet Cokes. Dessert, a pyramid of Ferrero Rocher. And your Taskmaster sandwich, exotic sandwich, just to finish it off.
I'm not going to change a single thing.
But you shouldn't, and you shouldn't.
That sounds absolutely ideal.
That's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's so many highlights there.
So many pyramids.
So many pyramids.
A lot of pyramids.
Yeah.
It's precarious, that meal.
Yeah.
Will Tiny Hugh Grant maybe go and scale one of the pyramids, do you think?
Yeah. Be on the top.
He'll be Howard Carter. He'll go in a sort of pith helmet and discover the tomb of Tutankhamun or something. I don't know.
And once more, what's the catchphrase?
Oh, Okay. Ambassador. Ambassador, with these Ferrero Rocher, you are truly spoiling us.
Yeah.
Will that do?
Yeah. In fact, that might be...
Well, that wasn't true.
More accurate than what I was saying.
It wasn't truly.
I said really, but I think it might be... I think truly sounds better.
I think it's really. I think you were right.
I think you got it absolutely perfect, and it's a wonderful way to end the podcast.
Well, the key thing is to remember that spoiling us comes at the end. Because if you do spoiling us at the beginning, you end up with a real old hash... Ambassador, you're spoiling us with these amazing chocolates that you brought in on a plate. Doesn't sound the same.
Mel, thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mel.
Merry Christmas to both of you.
What a wonderful Christmas menu. In a way.
The
menu itself, not ideal. Perhaps.
Kind of mad. A lot of pyramids.
Yeah, a lot of pyramids.
But the worst Christmas dinner I've ever heard.
No, I was on board with a lot of the Christmas dinner. It's a shame to lose the potatoes, but I would happily just have a big bowl of pigs in blankets, stuffing, gravy, bread sauce.
Sure. Pigs in blankets. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Happy with that being in there. I'll probably put them number one.
Yeah.
On my own personal list. We've done it before.
We've ranked before all and we'll do it again.
We've ranked them all. Yeah, it was an odd menu, but... So many highlights along the way. Tiny little Hugh Grant, I'm sure, enjoyed himself. We didn't ask if Hugh Grant was allowed to go around and eat the food.
I'm sure he would. I mean, if there's so much stuff on the pyramid, but I'd be worried he would gnaw away at the foundations of the pyramid.
Yeah, and then it would topple on him.
Yeah. Poor little Hugh Grant.
Be taken away in a tidal wave of Rochers.
I had too many questions about the tiny Hugh Grant that I didn't get to ask.
Yeah, apologies to the listeners if you're thinking we should have really drilled down into the Hugh Grant thing a little bit more. Maybe we'll have to get Mel back in the future for something and we can really find out more about tiny Hugh Grant being
Is it actual Hugh Grant? Is it a tiny representation of Hugh Grant?
Yeah.
Do you release him back into the wild afterwards?
Is he allowed to just do his own thing in between courses when it's not the side? You know, is he allowed to just walk around doing stuff?
If he needs to go to the toilets, he has to go out to the Quinstry.
Yeah.
So many questions. First time we've ever had a person as a course?
Yeah, that is the first time we've had a person. Yeah. I think no one's chosen cannibalism.
You are right.
Yeah. But also, didn't say Satsuma in a...
Didn't say Satsuma. Very happy about that.
And we might have another Christmassy episode coming up soon.
Yeah, next week. We definitely do.
Maybe. If you wish upon a star, Christmas day, you'd be nice, not naughty.
Be nice, not naughty, but we will be back next week with another Christmas episode.
If you're lucky.
With another absolutely belting guest.
Yes.
See you next week. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy... There's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's perfect brains. I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.